Our scripture reading for today would be Numbers chapter 32. That's Numbers chapter 32, beginning with verse 30, concluding verse 23. Verse 20, concluding verse 23. Again, that's Numbers chapter 32, beginning with verse 20 and concluding verse 23. And the Bible reads, "And Moses said unto them, If ye will do this thing, if ye will go on before the Lord to war, and will go all of you armed over Jordan before the Lord, until he have driven out his enemy from before him, and the land be subdued before the Lord, then afterward ye shall return and be guiltless before the Lord and before Israel, and this land shall be your possession before the Lord. Verse 23, but if ye will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sins will find you out." We read Numbers chapter 32, verse 20 through 23. May God add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his holy and divine word. Thank you.
Last month, when I was supposed to preach, I was sick. I had the flu and a strep throat at the same time. It was a wonderful time in my life. Let me tell you, I don't recommend that to anybody. Got over the flu and a strep throat, just too long to hold on. But that's when I was working on this sermon, back in April. So what was on my mind was the famous quote from Benjamin Franklin in Poor Richard's Almanac. And that is that there are two things certain in life: death and taxes. Because there were two things, and the number three so prominent in our minds, a lot of people have tried to add a third thing to that. Some people have come up with, well, change is also inevitable in life. One other person said the stupidity of humanity was on the list, and he said he thought that was more certain than the other two. On and on it goes with different things people have come up with to put a third on that list. But there's more than three things that are certain, more than four, more than five. I want to talk about some things this morning that are certain, but not just certain, but are just as sobering before us as death and taxes. In fact, death will be one of the things that we do talk about during the course of this lesson. Brother Larry Clark just read to us from Numbers chapter 32, verses 20 through 23. What's going on in that chapter? Joshua has led the children of Israel, or is about to lead the children of Israel, into the promised land. But Moses is finishing up his time. As they get ready to cross over the Jordan River, Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh have run across some land that they think is just all they need for their cattle. They're cattle farmers, and they say, this is just perfect. I don't know if it looked like Abilene, Texas, or something out there, but regardless, they said, this is just perfect for our cattle. We want to stay right here. We don't have any need to go on in the land. And some Moses and some folks began to think, well, that sounds like that they don't want to go in the land, help their brothers fight for the land that God has given them. So they go to them. Moses goes to these people and says, in the text that was just read for us by Brother Larry, that it's okay for you to stay over here on this side of the Jordan. That's fine. God will give it to you. That's your prerogative. However, When we do go in to take the land and we do cross the Jordan River, the front of the battlefield is going to be led by Reuben, Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh. And you will lead that front, and you will be the main ones fighting for your brethren over there in the land. And if you don't go and fight for your brethren, be sure your sins will find you out. You might think in a large crowd, in a battle situation, you might kind of start out in the front and you might wind up in the back. As old Fred Sanford said, he got so far behind one time in a battle, he ran into a general. You might think that you wind up in the back like that. But he says that's not the case. Your sins will find you out. Many are mistaken in believing they can commit sin and get by with it. Think about what the Bible says in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 24, where he says, some men's sins are open before all going to judgment. Some men's sins are open, but other men's sins are not open. Some of them may be hidden. It doesn't make any difference whether our sins are hidden or open, regardless, because there is an all-seeing eye who still sees all. He sees all, knows all, and he will give judgment one day upon our lives. We may think that we can get by with these sins, but if they're unforgiven sins, when we stand before God in judgment, things will not go well for us. Also, here on earth, from time to time, if sin is done in secret, sometimes other folks find out about it, and then you're subject to what they call blackmail. And this has happened a time or two, you know about, right? Someone comes and they find out something, and they're going to hold it against you, and they're going to use it to get what they want. And Proverbs 28 and verse 1 says, the wicked fleeth when no man pursueth. Sometimes folks just get nervous that they're about to be found out. Well, sin will find you out. That is certain. Secondly, we reap what we sow. That's a certainty. In fact, God said in Galatians 6, verses 7 through 9, Paul writing, be not deceived. Don't let yourself be deceived about this. There's something you could fool yourself about. God is not mocked. And literally what that says is God doesn't have... You can't thumb your nose up at God. You can't look at God that way. Whatsoever man soweth, that doth he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. Usually when we're talking about sowing and reaping, we're talking about the bad. We're talking about sowing to the flesh, and this is true. But it's also true that we reap what we sow when it comes to sowing to the Spirit. In Luke 8 verse 11, the seed of the Spirit is the Word of God. If we sow the good seed, we can expect that to bring forth fruit in the lives of others. If we sow the Word of God, we will reap much good. But it's also true, not just that Spirit, but also sowing to the flesh, we will reap the corruption that God has promised us. Thirdly, another certain thing. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. Wages. When you think about somebody's wages, you think about what someone has worked for. Their just reward. This is just exactly what they deserve. It implies what they deserve based on the actions that they have taken. And the wages of sin is death. Now here, he's not speaking of physical death, but he's talking about spiritual death and sin. We know this because we know that infants never sin, but yet sometimes they die, right? However, this wage, this sin that is death that comes upon those who are lost and separated eternally from God, a spiritual death. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 says, your sins and your iniquities are separated between you and your God. Sin causes a separation between man and God. And because of that, those wages must be paid, and that wage that is paid is spiritual death. The only place that you will ever go that you won't find Jesus with you is the devil's hell if you're God's child. Fourthly, it's certain that time passes. Listen to what the psalmist said in Psalm chapter 90, verses 9 beginning. He says, for all our days are passed away in wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70. If by reason of strength they be 80, yet it is their strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to fear is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. The psalmist is pointing out we need to work while we have the time to work. We need to serve God while we have the time to serve God. Because time is swiftly passing. You know, you may not realize it, but time just marches on. The older you get, the faster time seems to go. You know, when you're young, I remember when I was 14, I wanted to be 15 to get a learner's permit. Seemed like that took forever. And then I was 15, that wasn't good enough. I wanted to have a driver's license so I could be out on my own. It wasn't good enough. But that was the longest year of my life, I think. I don't know, y'all have 364 and 5 days. We had double leap year that year when I turned 16. I don't know if y'all remember that. But it took some extra days the year I was 15 to 16. And then you're ready, you're going to go off to college, and then life just continues, and everything just seems like it takes forever. You get down to that last semester of high school. Y'all remember how long that took? Oh, those people just kept talking and talking. The college has already accepted me. The grades are in. I don't care what you have to say now. Nothing's going to change. You know? That just kept on going. And time just seems like it goes and goes and goes. I don't know when it changes, but it seemed like to me that it must be, they talk about middle age and going downhill. I think it's 30, because that's when it started going downhill, it seems, because it seemed to get a little faster. Y'all ever notice life getting faster on you? You think something's going to take just a little while, and it takes even shorter than that before it gets here. Even this year, Mother's Day crept up on me. Man, I'm so old. On Monday, I get off of work Monday morning, and I'm headed to Walmart, and I said, all right, I got to buy me some cereal for my breakfast. I got to buy my Mother's Day card. So I go into Walmart, and I'm so old, guess what I did? Went straight to buy that cereal. I said, there's something else I got to get. What is it? I walked around Walmart for a little while until I got tired, and I said, well, I'll just go home. I ain't going to remember what it is. They apparently need to make their Mother's Day card more prominent in Walmart. I don't know. So I went home, and then life came in on me. And so I got my Mother's Day card yesterday. And unfortunately, they didn't have express mail, so it would come yesterday. So it's going to be a day or two late showing up in Alabama. But that's okay, because it's the Postal Service fault, just in case anybody wonders. You can't trust them folks to get anything there on time. Time just passes on you. Weeks over before you know it. Jesus talks about the same thing in John chapter 9. He said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. And that night is when we pass into death. In fact, after the grave, there is no work. In fact, Revelation 14:13 is supposed to be a comfort to us. It said, blessed is the dead who die in the Lord. Then it says that they may rest from their labors. While it's true that that is a comfort for us who have labored, if you have labored, that's not much comfort, because that says to you, if you rest from your labors, there's no more time to labor on that side of eternity. In fact, life itself is brief. In James 4, verse 14, it's compared to a vapor that appears for a little while, and soon thereafter it will completely vanish away. I don't know if y'all ever made tea using one of those actual teapots. You know, I'm a little teapot, short and stout, and that stuff. But we used to have one. It would whistle at you. It would whistle, and that little air would come up. You could see it. And then you'd go over, and you would pour it inside the pitcher, and you'd stir the sugar up. And my wife would always tell me how much sugar to put in there, because I could never remember. I'd stir that sugar up, then I'd put that water in there, and pretty soon there's no steam. It was just gone, as if it had never been there. And that's the way life is. For many of us, when we pass away, it will be as if we have never been here. We won't be remembered. Some people get remembered, some for good, some for ill. You think about it. You could be President of the United States and not be remembered. All right? Let's start naming presidents. George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, William Henry Harrison. Y'all remember him, don't you? James Gilmore. I made that one up. Y'all thought that was the real one, though, didn't you? I knew y'all fell for that one. Just sounds presidential. James Gilmore. He was actually a murderer who died in the state of Alabama. Got put to death. I think he was by the firing squad, wasn't he? Yeah, he was firing squad. But anyway, what I'm saying is most of us will not be remembered here on earth too long after we're gone. Amen. Even by those who wouldn't be here if you weren't here. You might be remembered by your children. You might be remembered by your grandchildren, maybe even your great-grandchildren. But, you know, if it wasn't for Ancestry.com, you wouldn't know who was back there 16 generations, would you? But you wouldn't be here without them. If you hadn't got that free month, you wouldn't have even known about them. And, of course, you wouldn't go pay, so it was all over after that, right? Some of y'all can relate. I hear it. But that's what happens. Time just continues to march on. And those who were here in the past, they go by and they're forgotten by the wayside. The next thing, death is certain. That's where we sort of started. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 5, for the living know that they shall die. Now, I'm not sure Solomon's right about that, because I'm not sure all the living know they shall die. I think some people think they're never going to die. They think that they're alive today, and they'll be alive tomorrow, and they'll be alive the next day and the next, and they never will pass away because they at least live as if that is the case. But each of us knows, biblically speaking, the only chance we've got to get out of death is if the Lord returns while we're still alive. Some of us will reach old age. Others will not. That sentence of death that's passed to all men will continue on. I don't know if y'all know this or not, but if you don't eat butter, if you don't eat bacon, if you don't eat ice cream, you're still going to die. Just not as happy. But you're still going to die. You'll be there. You'll be 94 years old. None of your friends left around because they all ice cream just frowning at people. They won't even be able to make you smile in the casket. Why? Because you didn't eat your bacon and ice cream. You know, I found out something this week, speaking of bacon. Do you know bacon's good inside cream-style corn? I discovered that this week at a restaurant. And my wife is supposed to be making me that today. We shall see if that happens. But death is certain no matter how you eat. You can run 10 miles a day. You can go to the doctor every 2 weeks instead of every 30 days and get your blood work done. You're still going to die. Death is certain. And many of the things that will kill us, we have absolutely no control over. There's some things that make you might have a little bit of control over. Some you have more control over. Some you don't have any control over. You can walk down the street and get hit by a Greyhound bus. You have no control over that unless you want to say, well, I should have stayed home that day. You can, so much of it has to do with your genetics. It doesn't matter. We get people in the hospital all the time, 110 pounds, run all the time, but their triglycerides, cholesterol, off the roof, just like their mamas, their daddies, their grandpas, and everybody else. Death, though, is certain, regardless of what your numbers say. Death is certain. Next, it's also certain that you will leave behind all of your earthly possessions. You know, you cannot take it with you. No matter how hard man has tried to come up with a way to do it, you just can't take it with you. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning there in verse 10, the Bible says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which some, having coveted after, have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness." Man will leave everything behind. Job 1:21 says, "Naked came I into this world, naked shall I return thither. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In Luke chapter 12 and verse 20, the rich fool was told, "This night shall thy soul be required of thee. Then who shall these things be that thou hast possessed?" What you, and Solomon even said in Ecclesiastes, "Who knows if you're going to leave it behind for a fool anyway?" There is no way to take it with you. Now, one fellow thought he was going to take it with him. He put in his will, the instructions were that all of his money was to be buried with him. His wife said, "All right, we'll take care of that." So, she took all the money that he had and wrote a check for it. And put it right down there in the grave. So he's got it all if he needs it. The rest of it, though, is left behind. You just, if you've ever seen a hearse, you've never seen a hearse pulling one of those little U-Haul things behind it, have you? Everybody leaves it all behind. And it doesn't matter how many toys you've got, if you don't go to heaven, you don't win. The next thing that's certain, the world is going to end. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 13, Peter talks about how even the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The world will pass away. 1 John 2:17, the world passed away and the lust thereof. It will pass away. There'll be a time when there will be, this old earth will be no more. There won't be anything left. It doesn't matter how permanent you think it is. The Great Wall of China, no more. Solomon's temple is already no more. They thought in their day, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, everything's going to be the same. Find Lot's wife today. Find me the Tower of Babel. All these things have already passed away, but soon it will all pass away. The Lord will return one day, and when he does, nothing will be left. The world is going to end. And all the stuff that you've accumulated in the world, guess what's going to happen to it? It will be no more. It doesn't matter if you've left it to whoever you've left it to. It doesn't matter if the government decides to end the death tax tomorrow. It will still be gone when the Lord puts the world on fire. Amen. And the last thing I want to mention that's certain is the judgment day. There will be a day where we will all have to stand before the Lord and give an account of what we've done. In Acts chapter 17, Paul went up on Mars Hill and dealt with the intellectual elites of his day. These were the people who thought that they knew everything, but they didn't know anything. When he summarized his sermon at the end, he said in verse 30, "The times of this ignorance God winked at, but now he commandeth all men everywhere to repent." Why? He tells why. "Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof we are given assurance to all men, and he hath raised him from the dead." See, when we talk about the judgment being certain, the judgment is just as certain as the resurrection. The resurrection happened, and judgment is going to happen. When Jesus talked in Matthew 16, he said the gates of hell can't prevail against him. He's going to come out of the grave and he's going to do what he said he's going to do. And there is no way Satan could stop him. The strange thing about Satan, he's one of the dumbest fellas ever. He can quote scripture I know that for what he did in Matthew chapter 4 of the Lord. But he doesn't understand a word of it. Had Satan understood the Bible, he never would have tempted Judas to put Jesus to death, would he? He didn't know that when in Genesis 3 and verse 15, when God in cryptic prophetic form said, "He shall bruise thy heel, but he's going to crush the head of that serpent." Jesus had his heel bruised, but Jesus surely crushed Satan on that day. And he crushed him with the resurrection 3 days later. That's when Satan figured out, oh, this is what this was all about. And just as surely as that's happened, the judgment day is coming. And in view of the fact that our sins will find us out, we'll reap what we sow, the wages of sin is death, time is just passing faster and faster each day, death is certain, we'll leave all our earthly possessions behind, the world will be no more, and we'll stand before God in judgment. If all of these things are certain, let me go to 2 Peter chapter 3 and ask a simple question. Turn with me. Let's sort of underline it in our mind. 14. "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless." Seeing that all these things are going to come to pass, how should we then live? We ought to live in view of the fact that the only thing that matters is not what we have here on earth, because it'll pass away, but where we will spend eternity. I don't know if you've ever thought about eternity. People have tried to speculate and come up with some way to illustrate what eternity is. Somebody said if you could take one grain of sand and an ant could take it from earth to the moon, then come back and get another grain of sand until he finally had moved the entire earth to the moon, eternity would not have even started. I don't know how you can illustrate eternity, because eternity is just that, eternity. Just as God has gone in that direction all the way, we will live in the other direction all the way one day. And where we live will be determined based on how we live, how we've lived. Isn't that amazing? You know, where we live now is determined based on a couple of things. One, how good our job is. Two, how well we manage our money. And three, what we choose. At least those three things are involved in where we live now. If you don't make a lot of money, you're not living in Queens Harbor. I don't care how good you manage it and how much you want to live there. If you don't manage your money right, you can make all you want, you can want to live there all you want, you're not going to live there. And of course, if you don't want to live there, you're not going to live there. All these are variables that go into where I live. But when it comes to eternity, it's not going to be about what I make. It's not going to be about necessarily just what I desire. It's going to be about how I've lived here on earth. I would hate to stand before the Lord in judgment and say, "Well, you need to understand, Lord, when I was on earth, I had a good job, I managed my money well, and I lived exactly where I wanted to. Now I want to move in where I want to up here." That's not how it works. That, like that Facebook commercial, that's not how it works. We stand before the Lord in judgment. It will be based on how we've lived. When the one great score comes to write against our name, it will matter not how whether we won or lost, but how we played the game. Grantland Rice said long ago. If you're here and never obeyed the gospel of Christ, you can do so by hearing God's word, believing it, repenting of your sins, confessing Christ, being baptized into Christ. But if you've done that in the past and gone back to the world, we call you Lord today. Come as we stand, as we sing.
My spirit.